नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञान। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 1-8। श्री ब्रह्म उवाच अजात जन्म स्थिति संयमाया गुणाय निर्वाण सुखार्णवाय अनोर अनिम्ने अपरिगण्य धामने महानुभावाय नमो नमस्ते। श्री शुक उवाच द टेक्स्ट 1। श्री शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड, ओ किंग परीक्षित, द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड एड हरि, being thus worshipped with prayers by the demigods and Lord Brahma, appeared before them. His bodily effulgence resembled the simultaneous rising of thousands of suns. Text 2. The vision of all the demigods was blocked by Lord's effulgence. Thus they could see neither the sky, the directions, the lands, nor even themselves. What to speak of seeing the Lord who was present before them? Text 3-7. Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva, saw the crystal clear personal beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose blackish body resembles a Murkata gem, whose eyes are reddish like the depths of a lotus, who is dressed with garments that are yellow like molten gold, and whose entire body is attractively decorated. They saw his beautiful smiling lotus-like face, crowned by a helmet, bedecked with valuable jewels. The Lord has attractive eyebrows, and his cheeks are adorned with earrings. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva saw the belt on the Lord's waist, the bangles on his arms, the necklace on his chest, and the ankle bells on his legs. The Lord is bedecked with flower garlands. His neck is decorated with Kaustubh gem, and he carries with him the goddess of fortune and his personal weapons like his disc and club. When Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, thus saw the form of the Lord, they all immediately fell to the ground, offering their obeisances. Text 8. Translation. We'll do word by word. Shri Brahma uvaca. Translation. Lord Brahma said, although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. You are always free from the material qualities. You are the shelter of the transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle or the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme, whose existence is inconceivable. Purport by His Divine Grace, Shilesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.6, Ajopisan Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishwaropisan Prakritim Swamadishthaya Sambhavami Atma Maya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. In the following verse in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, the Lord says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is unborn, there is no cessation to his appearance in different forms, as incarnations like Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. Since his incarnations are eternal, the various activities performed by these incarnations are also eternal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not appear because he is forced to do so by karma, like ordinary living entities, who are forced to accept a certain type of body. It is to be understood that the Lord's body and activities are all transcendental, being free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. These pastimes are transcendental bliss to the Lord. The word Aparigamya Dhamne is very significant. There is no limit to the Lord's appearance in different incarnations. All of these incarnations are eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Well, Vaishnavas, before starting, attempting to speak something. So this is the beginning of this new chapter. Demigods and demons declare a truce. So here, it is described that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and all the demigods, after seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, Brahmaji starts appreciating, or starts glorifying and offering obeisances. They fall down immediately and offer obeisances there. Brahma, Shiva and all the demigods. And few characteristics of the Supreme Lord are given. We see in Brahma's prayers here, it's so, he's describing in these words, what is his experience of the Supreme Lord? What is his experience of the position of the Supreme Lord? So naturally he's speaking, you know, in this prayers, whatever his realizations are, he's presenting. And he mentions few characteristics of the Supreme Lord. First, it says, you are never born. Although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. Second thing it says, you are always free from material qualities. And then he says, you are the shelter of the transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. And then he mentions that last point, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. Your existence is inconceivable. So these 4 points, Brahmaji is explaining about the Supreme Lord. That although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. So here, demigods, when they see the Lord is covered by the effulgence, they cannot appreciate, they cannot immediately see, they cannot see the form of the Lord. And finally, Brahmaji reveals certain qualities of the Supreme Lord. Because one other thing mentioned is, Supreme Lord is difficult to be conceived by material speculation. Prabhupada says, Aparigamya Dhamne, whose bodily features are never to be conceived by material speculation. So by one's material speculation, by one's material abilities, one cannot see the Supreme Lord. This is point is being mentioned here. And therefore, somebody needs to reveal. So we see in this, in the modern age, when people try to understand what is the nature of the Supreme Lord, they often misunderstand or ask so many questions. Why Lord did like this? Why Lord Ram did like this? Why Lord Krishna did like this? So many incarnations, they pose questions. And these questions are because they are trying to understand the subject of the Supreme Lord by their material speculation. Whenever such a kind of question comes, why the Lord is doing like that? And whenever they are unable to understand, and they try to speculate, it is because trying to understand by the material judgmental abilities. They often come up with the questions that, first of all, they can't understand Krishna's Leela. In Krishna's Dwarka Leela, we see, or his Vrindavan Leela, he says, how he is performing his Rasa dance. So people often question, how is it possible? How your God can be so immoral? Right? How Lord Ram can give so much pain to Mother Sita and send her to the forest after giving so much troubles the whole life? So many questions like that are raised. How can Lord Krishna, after performing his Vrindavan pastimes, leave the residents of Vrindavan in so much pain and separation and go to Mathura, go to Dwarka, never to see them again? So many such things about Krishna are difficult to understand. How he marries 16,000 wives. So all these, and so many pastimes of the Supreme Lord are difficult to understand by the material speculation. So he says, Aparigannya Dhamne. And all the more it becomes difficult in this age of Kali. Because one of the nature of Kaliyug, that is the fault of Kaliyug. Kaliyug is called as age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So when everybody's eyes are blinded by this quarrel and hypocrisy, how can they imagine to understand the pastimes of the Supreme Lord? One verse describes, Kalau Nashta Drisham Esha. Kalau Nashta Drisham. Your drishti or vision to see things is destroyed by the effects of Kaliyug. Quarrel and hypocrisy. Actually, I like this verse, this phrase, quarrel and hypocrisy very much. If you see in Kaliyug, for no reason, there is so much vibrations are infused with quarrel and hypocrisy. I was just thinking few days back, somebody was telling me that how certain group of devotees were discussing something in a meeting. And then after the meeting, they go and report to certain authority that this is what happened in the meeting. And very innocently, they present the facts. This is what happened. They present everything. But the way statements were put, it was taken by the authority in certain way. In all the innocence. In all the innocence, not in some duplicity or trying to exploit someone. And he has to make a decision for someone else, and he is giving the decision in his all innocence. That this is the fact, so this is the decision. And the third party, how he is getting affected, that person, it completely disturbs him. That this was not the facts originally discussed in the meeting. Now, of course, I can discuss the whole case here. But the point is, so then I was wondering, then I was sitting with one devotee and I was discussing certain cases like that. Here is this discussion happened, here is this discussion happened, here is this happened. And I was discussing that Kaliyug is so much infused with quarrel and hypocrisy that without your wanting, things are perceived in such a way that automatically there is misunderstanding takes place. Each party misunderstands the other party in a certain way. They do not want, they do not like everybody sitting with a sword in his hand somehow to insult someone or break someone's heart or insult someone or kill someone, no. But somehow the Kaliyug is infused with such vibrations, the whole vibrations are so strong that naturally things are perceived in a wrong way. It's so, what is unnatural becomes so natural. Rumors are spread so naturally. Quarrel happens so naturally, hypocrisy infuses so naturally, the way things are perceived, misunderstanding takes place so naturally, without wanting. The person has all good intention, but the other person perceives something wrong. And then he wants to reciprocate in a good way, but the first party perceives it wrong. And it builds and builds, and finally, there's a whole quarrel, nobody knows how it started. So, Kalau Nashta Drishamesha. The whole Kaliyug is so much infused with negative vibrations. As somebody was mentioning about this tendency to always complain and criticize and compare is so much infused in Kaliyug. This tendency is so infused that the mind is haunted by these three things. Always comparing, always complaining, always criticizing. So anything we see, anything we observe, any event happen, it is perceived in that way, it is processed in that way by a conditioned mind, if the mind is not purified. So, Kalau Nashta Drishamesha, it is very natural, these quarrel and hypocrisy vibrations are so much infused that everybody gets attacked by this, unless or until he sufficiently takes precautions to purify himself, to perceive things in the right way. The first thing which happens, even he does not want to quarrel, but the way perception is done, it leads to quarrel. leads to hypocrisy. So therefore, with such a consciousness, how can one achieve the lotus feet of Supreme Lord Krishna? How can one achieve the state of supreme transcendental bliss, aloof from all material dualities? How it is possible? It is not possible. Unless and until mind is sufficiently purified. Till the time these vibrations are thoroughly infecting a conditioned mind, it is very difficult to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, when the mind is infused, it is so difficult. Instead of comparing, instead of complaining, instead of criticizing, it is so difficult to develop the qualities of appreciation, gratitude, tolerance. This is the opposites. Instead of complaining, one tolerates. Instead of comparing or criticizing, one appreciates. One feels grateful. So these are the qualities one needs to have a connection with the Supreme Lord. One devotee in the yatra recently, somebody came, one of the devotees from other countries. I was sitting with him and we were discussing. I was telling him, what are your realizations? First time you're traveling in India, so much. So he's telling me that when I'm in the West, I just read books. And always with an intention that, okay, when I go to India, I am going to see it in practice. I am going to see these things happening. I said, first of all, your expectations are very high, I mean, in terms of qualities. After all, it's Kali Yuga, either India or America. It's Kali Yuga. So why are you expecting? You're not coming suddenly to a spiritual world. You think, see things happening in the right way. But he was telling me, he said, when I was reading 13th chapter Bhagavad Gita, he said, he was mentioning all the qualities, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shanti, 20 qualities mentioned there. He said, Prabhupada writes, this is a test how one is progressing spiritually. But somehow, I just don't see things happening properly. I said, Kaleda Dosha Nidhe Rajan, everybody is engaged in Harinam, Sankirtan, that is the best thing, just observe that, why you are observing this part. But then he was giving his observation. He said, I am so much dejected by certain things, which happened with him in certain times. Anyway, not going into the details of discussion, but he was telling that one of the very important things which is mentioned in throughout the Bhagavad Gita is these qualities. He says, one cannot see or perceive, if you see these 20 qualities, they end in tatva jnanarth darshanam, adhyatma jnana nityatvam. Approaching or sincere desire to seek the absolute truth. He said, the desire cannot be strong unless and until it is based on certain qualities. If these qualities are not properly focused on, one cannot develop that strong desire to see the absolute truth. That connection with the absolute truth, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be made. Till that time, the Supreme Lord is covered. Recently, Radhanath Maharaj was giving lecture in Mayapur Yatra, and I remember in one of the last past times, those who were there, where this Brajavasi devotee was sharing, and Maharaj mentioned his fourth realization. He said, a thief of Maya has stolen our vision to have the darshan of Radha and Krishna. Those who remember, he mentioned that. The thief of Maya has stolen our vision. So the vision is stolen. Supreme Lord is covered. So here, Brahmaji is revealing the nature of the absolute truth. He's telling, Ajopisan avve atma bhuta naam aishwaropisan. This is, although the Supreme Lord is unborn, although my transcendental body never deteriorates, I still appear in millennium after millennium in my original transcendental form. And what is the mission that is mentioned in the next verse? Yuda yudai dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. It says, thus, although the Supreme Lord is unborn, there is no cessation in His appearance in different forms as incarnations like Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. Since His incarnations are eternal, the various activities performed these incarnations are also eternal. Supreme Godhead does not appear because He is forced to do so by karma, like other living entities who are forced to accept a certain kind of body. So, janma karma cha medeviyam. Lord's bodies and activities are transcendental. One cannot understand by his materialistic condition mentality, which is based on always comparing, complaining, criticizing, which is infused with the in vibrations of quarrel and hypocrisy. So this is a common saying which goes, opportunity knocks, But most people complain about the noise. Isn't it? That's what it is. That's all. Opportunity knocks, but most people complain about the noise. So that's a very interesting thing. Because the way Supreme Lord also manifests in our life is very inconceivable sometimes. There are various inconceivable ways in which Supreme Lord manifests in the life. And generally whenever Supreme Lord manifests, He showers His mercy. The unfortunate conditioned soul, what happens? Either he complains or criticizes or does not understand. Opportunity knocks, but most people complain about the noise. They don't realize the hand of the Supreme Lord, the mercy of the Supreme Lord manifesting in the life. So here is mentioned this inconceivable nature. His existence is inconceivable. The Lord's inconceivable nature, very interesting. There are various aspects of His inconceivable nature. There is an inconceivable mercy of the Lord. Inconceivable potencies of the Lord. Inconceivable mercy, just like recently we are hearing in the Mayapur Yatra that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his childhood pastimes as Nimai Pandit, as young Nimai, baby Nimai, how he was playing and he was stolen by the certain thieves. He was taken away. And when the baby Nimai was taken away by the thieves, we know all that pastime, that how they take him and give him, they keep feeding him sandesh, keep offering him sandesh one after another, and take him, we will give you nice sweets and sweetmeats, and they take him far, far away. But not far away, actually, they are thinking they are taking him to their own hiding place, but finally they land up back again at Jagannath Mishra's house. And in the meantime, Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi, completely oblivious of the fact that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why to be so much anxious about Him? They are in complete anxiety, about to faint, losing their consciousness. Where is our Nimai has gone? And they are so much in suffering. And finally they realize and here their son comes back. And they get so happy about it. And when they get so happy about it, they are asking, where were you? Where did you go? Who brought you back home? So here, just see, by His own potency, He brought the thieves back to the place, back to this home. But what does He say? Oh, I went to Ganga and I lost my way, and finally two nice men, they brought me home. So, Radhananda Maharaj was describing this in the Mayapur Yatra, that just see how inconceivable mercy in His pastime is showering the Supreme Lord. He is talking about the preaching. He said, what is this preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Actually, this thief had nothing good. Nothing was good actually. What was? They tried to steal him away. They tried to cheat. They tried to steal all his ornaments. That's what they wanted. But, in spite of not having any good, Lord is just trying to see some good in them and trying to see that how they brought him back home and try to give them the credit. Somehow get the credit of offering him some service to the Lord. They fed him nice sandesh, they brought him home. Some offered nice sandesh. So Lord Chaitanya's movement, very difficult, inconceivable, very difficult to conceive how He can be so merciful. So, we see in all His pastime, very difficult. So Maharaj is explaining that how this is the job of a preacher. Because Kali Yuga is full of faults. Everybody is full of faults. That's why it's because Kali Yuga is a vibration of quarrel and hypocrisy. There is unlimited reasons why there can be disagreements and fights and quarrels, and why you can criticize and complain about others. So many unlimited reasons. But those who have genuinely interest in establishing relationship with the Supreme Lord, those who are overwhelmed with the desire to see the absolute truth, those who are overwhelmed with the desire to develop love of Godhead, those who have a sincere searching desire to develop that connection with Krishna, keeping all the negative factors aside, they will see on something good. And that is the whole preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very inconceivable. There is no good, but still see something good. And somehow connect that person to Krishna. Somehow get that mercy and give that, sukriti. Somehow give that connection to Krishna. Very inconceivable. Such broad-mindedness. I think Lochinder Sagar says in one bhajan, Emona Dayala, in three words, such a merciful Lord, who has seen? Nobody has seen such a Lord. Keeping all the faults aside, he is just focusing. So therefore, this one of the point, inconceivable mercy. And this is the mercy seen in the whole parampara, those who are carrying this parampara of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such inconceivable. There are unlimited things to be seen as faults, but just see something good and somehow connect to Krishna. If somebody is really interested in Krishna, if somebody has really strong desire to have that interest in Krishna. So opportunity knocks, but most people complain about the noise. But no, here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling what is the essence to be focused on. His inconceivable pastimes. His pastimes are so inconceivable. The way he manifests in the life of a devotee. We see in the life of Billwa Mangal Thakur. I remember last year some of the BT devotees had a nice drama on Billwa Mangal Thakur. So, it is Thakur sitting. So, this how Lord manifests in his life. That beautiful bhajan comes. By Billwa Mangal Thakur, song is written, Vrajay Prasidam Navanita Choram. And he is describing the manifestation of Lord as a thief. Again, the nature of Supreme Lord is described. The Lord as a thief. It says actually very beautiful lines here. Vrajay Prasidam Navanita Choram Gopangananam Chadukula Choram Aneka Janmarjita Papa Choram. So again, what is the here? Aneka janmarjita papa choram. He steals the sins which have accrued over many, many lifetimes. So it basically glorifies the Supreme Lord Chorashtakam as a chore, as a thief. There's Sri Radhikaya Hridayasya Choram. He steals Srimati Radharani's heart, who steals the dark luster of a fresh rain cloud, who steals all the sins and sufferings of those who take shelter of his feet. He turns his surrendered devotees into paupers and wandering. So this third verse says, Akinchani kritya padasritam ya karoti bhikshum pati gehahinam. Padasritam ya. Those who have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, how does the Lord manifest? One of the ways. Akinchani kritya, he makes them akinchan. Karoti bhikshum pati gehahinam bhikshum. He puts them on the path of homeless beggars. And also such a fierce, so he says, Kena piho bhishana chaura drik. Who has seen such a fearful thief? Who has heard? Drishta shrutovana jagatrayapi. I have never heard. Recently, one of my old friends, whom I tried hard to preach to him Krishna consciousness, I tried really hard to give him, to make him chant the holy names, come to the temple, take association of devotees. And years passed. And he was telling me his own story. And recently I realized that he's chanting 20 rounds every day. So I asked him, what happened over the years, you know. So he was telling me, actually when he was in college, he was involved in an affair with a girlfriend. So it was so difficult to preach to him. And the funny story is that just before that, I was preaching to another boy who was involved with the same girl for a long time. So they had some relation going on over 2 years, and I didn't know that he's involved. So I was trying to preach to him. And one day this boy never listened. I would force him. Sometimes I'd bring him to the temple. And he would never take interest. He would just come to please me. So 2 years after, he told me what is the whole thing. He was involved in such and such place, and he was so much overwhelmed that he just could not leave her and come to the temple. And I said, no need to leave her, I mean, just continue. So he said, but anyway, I was too much involved in sense gratification. I had no interest in temple life, devotional life. Anyway, after 2 years, he was frustrated, and then finally, by that time, he had finished, and he went back to his home and never to get in touch with him. So then there's a second boy I was preaching. And I didn't realize that this boy has some relation with the same person which the previous boy had. And for a long time, trying to preach to him, and he is not taking interest because he is so overwhelmed by his own future planning and desires to enjoy and make a good family and this and that. Finally, and in that, so much endeavor, he neglected his studies. He neglected all his career properly. He neglected his parents. He neglected everything. 3-4 years down the line, or maybe 5 years, that girl left him and got married to someone. Then he wasted so many years without studying properly. So many years went in frustration. He was almost like a secretary case, completely disturbed and spoiled, and absolutely devastated his life. And then he remembered all the words which I had mentioned to him. So recently I was showing him this song. So he said, "Wow, this is my story. Absolutely my story." He said, "Really, Lord is a thief. He steals away everything. He makes you a kinchan completely." So then he was so enlivened. I'll tell you the next verse, those who have read this. Finally, down the line, this fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh verse which comes. Man manase tamasi, before the fifth verse. Dhanam cha manam cha tathendriyani pranam cha hitva mama sarvam eva. He says, "Oh Lord, what have you left with me? Oh thief, dhanam, you have stolen my wealth. You have stolen my honor. Tathendriyani, you have stolen my senses. My life, pranam cha hitva mama sarvam eva. Everything you have stolen. Where can you run now?" Just like a thief, you know. Where can you run now? Palaya se kutra dhritavadya chauram. I have caught you with the rope of my devotion. Tvam bhakti damna si maya nirudha. So this devotee is telling me, now I have caught Krishna with the rope of my devotion. Now whatever may happen, I will not give up this chanting of Hare Krishna. Whatever may happen, I will not leave the lotus feet of the devotees of the Krishna. Whatever may happen, I will not leave the service of the devotees. And he was so fired up and so like, and after reading this, he got more fired up. He said, "This is perfectly my story. Chorashtakam, Lord is a perfect thief." And he was just glorifying. And then he was telling me all the verses which he read in Gita and Bhagavatam. And each and every word, he's speaking just like, you know, Brahma is speaking here. You are unborn, your appearance and disappearance. Yesterday, somebody tells me to give class. Somehow, giving class is like is a duty we have to do. But I find it like an austerity to speak so much about Krishna. Because there is not much deep realization and connection is not there with Krishna. But some things which struck you deep, you really want to tell everyone, this is what. It just naturally comes. One time I was speaking something and I had not read some, there is similar verse in the Bhagavatam. Then somebody showed me, "What you are speaking, exactly that verse in the Bhagavatam." I said, "Really, I never read that." So then sometimes what happens, something you experience, just a realization. And this realization of some devotees mentioned in the Shastras. So here this person is mentioning shlokas from Gita and Bhagavatam. Each and every word is striking right to his heart, you know. It's like Krishna is right entering into his heart after stealing away everything. Palaya se kutra dhritavadyasman. Where will you run now? Now Krishna has taken right their place. So very inconceivable how Krishna enters in our life. But most people complain about the noise. So only one who is very overwhelmed with strong desire to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can establish that connection when the Supreme Lord's inconceivable mercy comes in the life of a devotee. But the nature of the Supreme Lord is, He is ready to see any little good in your life, any little good. So such are the inconceivable ways of the Lord. And it says, it is to be understood the Lord's body and activities are all transcendental, being free from contamination of material modes of nature. These pastimes are transcendental bliss to the Lord. There is no limit to the Lord's appearance. All of these incarnations are eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. So Brahma Samhita says, Premanjana churi bhakti vilochanena santas sadai hridaya vilok. It says, there are two verses next to each other. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, and the next one, Ramadi Murtishu. That comes after that, right? Ramadi Murtishu Kalaniyamena Tishtam. So first he says, who can see the Supreme Lord? Who can see that hand of the Supreme Lord? His inconceivable presence. The very fact you say Lord is inconceivable, how will I conceive Him? How will I conceive when the Lord manifests in my life? Just like I'm mentioning this case of this devotee, there could have been another case who would have completely frustrated and gone away from everything and committed suicide after all the frustration. There is another case. He already attempted suicide once, after all the frustration. And then he came to Krishna consciousness. But here is this case, who, not going frustration, but taking the Krishna consciousness, the right spirit. And really getting the determination that, yes, where will you run, my Lord, now after stealing away everything? Now my life is only for your pleasure, only for your service. How will that come? Because Lord, if you say Lord is so inconceivable, then how will I conceive Lord at the right time? How will I make that connection at the right time? Lord takes in various forms, he can come. Rama, the Murti, Shukala, Niyamena, so many incarnations. Similarly, how he manifests in our life in so many inconceivable ways. So many inconceivable ways. But who can catch the truth? Like other day we were discussing in our Bhakti Vaibhav seminar. Those who catch the truth. Material world is full of complexities. In Prabhupada writes in first canto, third chapter, first verse. Those who catch the truth. What is the catch the truth? Those who develop that connection with the Supreme Lord. So who will develop that connection? Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Those eyes are anointed with the love, with the overwhelming desire to see the Supreme Lord. So we see from these verses that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ready to give. Even without any good quality, he is ready to give the highest mercy. The whole mission of Gaudiya Parampara is seeing the good, even if there is no good. Seeing the good and stretch it out, expand it, fan the spark. That's what the whole sampradaya is all about. Not seeing any bad thing, which is Kali Yuga, age of choler and hypocrisy. Not getting involved in the hypocrisies, but seeing that good. So here he is calling that, yes, this is possible. So only those who have that overwhelming desire, they can make that connection with the Lord. Another statement recently in the Yatra, Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning. He was telling the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ready to offer you the highest gift. Here we are talking about Vraje Prasidam Navanita Choram. This is all Vraj consciousness, you know, because he is acting as butter thief, and from there the whole story starts of stealing. His whole pastime starts from Vrindavan, that okay, stealing the butter. So here he is stealing. So going back to Vrindavan, how to get entrance into Vrindavan, how to get entrance into the highest consciousness of giving up everything for the Lord. Palayase Kutra Dhritavadyasma, now where will you run? To get that connection, to get the determination, he was telling this only little price one has to pay. What is the little price? He said three things. He said just some faith is required, little service attitude is required. I was very interested when he said little service attitude. I said, okay, very nice. He said, and sincerity to chant the holy names. These are like basic principles. If somebody sticks to these principles, then whatever may come is all superficial. Faith, just like Bali Maharaj, when the time came to surrender, his surrender was challenged by Shukracharya. Prahlad Maharaj, when he surrendered to the Lord, his surrender was challenged in terms of so many problems given by Hiranyakashipu. He was thrown out of the cliff, he was thrown into the snakes, thrown into fire. He was like, so many miseries were given. But all that, what counts? Faith. Little service attitude. Here he says, where will you run? I am ready to serve in spite of any kind of circumstance. Service attitude, desire to serve, enthusiasm to serve. And sincerity to chant the holy names. And that was what the qualification of Srila Prabhupada. How Srila Prabhupada could invite Krishna, could invite the mission of Lord Chaitanya, could establish the mission of Lord Chaitanya all over the, if you see, all over the planet. That thing was there. Sincerity to chant the holy name. Faith was there. And service attitude was there. Whatever may come, is enthusiasm to serve the spiritual master instruction will not go down. This is very interesting. Spiritual master gives instructions. Somebody, whoever is the guru, he may give instruction. And somebody may say, try something and come back. Okay, ho gaya. Nahi hua. I could not do it. But no, he could have come back in 1 or 2 years. But there is no question of I could not do it. That is called service attitude. Whatever may come. Heart attacks came, health problems came, and attacks came on his life. So many problems. But there is no question of that going back and saying, sorry, I could not do it. Service attitude, order came, he went, and he's doing, it happens or not. He's just doing. Depending completely on the mercy of the spiritual master. So faith, service attitude, and sincerity to chant the holy names of the Lord. Very beautifully. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ready to give that highest love, that consciousness of Vrindavan, where he is saying, Vraje prasidam navanita chauram chauragraganyam purusham namamit. Such a thief, I offer my obeisances. So therefore, here Lord Brahma says, they are not able to see all the Brahma, Shiva and all the demigods. As long as one is trying to see with his material speculation, with his conditioned mind, only thing which comes out is compare, complain and criticize. Even the Lord's mercy one criticizes, one complains when the mercy comes, one complains about the noise which the opportunity creates. But one who is having that strong, overwhelming desire to see the absolute truth, to develop that connection, he focuses on the essence. Because Lord appears in his inconceivable ways. His holy name is inconceivable, his pastimes are inconceivable. But only one who has faith, service attitude and sincerity to chant the holy names. For him, the whole ocean of material existence is so difficult to cross. So many inconceivable things. By material speculation, one tends to fall over. But by service attitude, by fixed on the mission, one can cross over and the whole ocean can just reduce to a small calf's hoof print. So he says, you are the shelter of the transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. You are the supreme subtle of most extremely subtle. So, how one can perceive? By service attitude. Not by his material speculation. So, we therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you whose existence is inconceivable. Like that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.